Good morning. How are you feeling this morning? I might be a bit mixed up. I've got three bits of paper, not necessarily in the right order, but if you listen very carefully, you can then pick out the bits that you want to hear. So here we go. First of all, the one you all know, tea and coffee. Tea and coffee is being served in the community hall following our worship this morning. Now, there's no Lent course tonight, that's finished. And there's no scallywags tomorrow, because they're on holiday. Is that right? Yeah, I'm right. Okay, I guess so far I'm right. That's my first bit of paper. And those lovely people who help me every Sunday to change the seats for the scallywags, you're sacked. Okay? Don't need you, no chairs to be moved today. Thank you very much. On Tuesday, there's no warm space. Warm space has come to an end, and I think we'd like to thank Paul and Gillian and their volunteers. Eventually became very popular and very successful. So thank you very much, everyone who was involved in that. Wednesday, Friends Together from 1:30 onwards. On Thursday, no explorers because they're on holiday. Now, those of you who belong to the Salvation Army, you know what I'm talking about. But those of you who are new, we've got some funny sayings like promoted to glory. We've got another one, cartridges. So we're not shooting anybody. The cartridges is the little envelope that the soldiers in the corps and others put money in each week towards the work here. And the new cartridge envelopes are at the back on the table. If you do normally take one, look for your name on one of those boxes. Now, Good Friday. Good Friday morning, there will be a Good Friday service here in the hall at 9:30. Yes, you heard it. 9:30. This will be followed by hot cross buns and tea and coffee. And then at 11 o'clock, the Church is Together service on the Triangle, which the band are involved this year. Following that, there will be soup, roll, tea, coffee and cakes for a meagre £6. And the proceeds are going towards help in Turkey and Syria, the destruction there. So please, you're helping a good cause. Can I just say that if you're not able to get to the open air, there's still time to add your name to the list on the notice board for that lunch, and they'll be serving soup from 12 o'clock. So if you think, oh, I can't wait from, you know, 9:30 till 1 o'clock, you can get the soup and the offer at 12 o'clock onwards. So hope you like to take advantage of that. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, Holy Saturday we call it, the worship group will be putting on contemporary music. Now, if you're as old as me, you say, oh, contemporary music. But they're good, they're great, and they need support. So if you can, please, 7 o'clock here next Saturday evening. On Easter Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, there's a sunrise service, and that's somewhere near the pier on that Sunday morning. We have our own Easter praise here at 10:30 next Sunday as well. And finally, to end, if you haven't put your name down for the spring clean, I'm very disappointed. I thought everybody liked me, but there's only six. So there's a notice on the board, and it's for the 22nd of April, and I'll keep reminding you until you've got your name on. Okay, so thank you very much. I'm now pleased to hand back to Captain.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be together. It's good to see you on this Palm Sunday. I'm just going to add one thing to what John said, And I'm going to add my thanks to the band and the songsters for yesterday's program. You've definitely got some fans in the house. But I knew it was a good concert. I knew it was a good evening when the songsters were singing. I had the chance to turn back and I could see Jim and Sheena swaying in time and together. And I went, well, this must be a good evening. And it was good to see you engaging and enjoying in that way. Yeah, we're building up to Easter. It's good, isn't it? New life. It's not often that I'm lost for words, is it? Let's join together. Bob, don't laugh. Our first song this morning, our first hymn this morning, "All Glory, Lord, and Honour." It's number 135 in the songbooks if you're following in one, but I would invite you to stand if you're able as we join together in sung worship. And the fifth verse, "Thou didst accept their praises, accept the prayers we bring, who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King." Please take your seats. We move towards a time of prayer as we tend to at this stage in the meeting. I'm going to invite you all to sing these words. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. And now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. We enter into God's presence because of the gift, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's what the refrain really in this song reminds us. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's join together in singing these words. Since you call us into your presence, you call us, to come. Into your presence we draw us, into your grace we come. Now by your grace. Not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing else can save us but the blood of the Lamb. We're going to join together in a time of prayer. And I've got four areas for us to pray about this morning. I'm going to introduce that area of prayer. And I'm going to leave some silence for you to then reflect before I pray. And we'll repeat that four times this morning. Let us pray. Firstly, this morning, I would ask you to thank God for one gift or one good thing in your life. May that be family, friends, health, God's love. What is it that you're thankful for this morning? Express your thanks to God in these moments of silence that follow. Gracious God, in the busyness of our day, we sometimes forget to stop to thank you for all that is good in our life. Our blessings are many and our heart is filled with gratefulness for the gift of living, for the ability to love and be loved, for the opportunity to see everyday wonders of creation, for sleep and water, for a mind that thinks and a body that feels. We thank you too for those things in our life that are less than we would hope them to be. Things that seem challenging, unfair, or difficult. When our heart feels stretched and empty, and pools of tears form in our weary eyes, still we rejoice that you are as near to us as our next breath, and that in the midst of turbulence, we are growing and learning. In the silence of our soul, we thank you most of all for your unconditional and eternal love. Amen. I invite you now to pray for a friend or a neighbour who is struggling perhaps and in need of help, or perhaps of a person that you know that needs to know Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our example of true friendship, one who laid down his life for his friends. Thank you for the gift of human friendship, which is a tangible representation of your love and care for us. We pray that you would encourage our friends to press on in this race called life and to press on towards you. We pray in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, we pray for our leaders in government, but also in the church or in the schools that we attend or in which we work. We pray for those, in other words, that God is put in charge in some way or another. King of kings and leader of leaders, we thank you for our government, and especially for those seeking to lead with righteousness, courage, and compassion. We thank you for men and women of vision and dedication wherever we see them and wherever they are working beyond our sight or knowledge. But Lord, we long for more for our country than what we see now. We also pray for our leaders in the church. We need your wisdom and direction for your church. Please keep us humble and always relying upon you to give us the perfect wisdom and direction that we need. Help us to consider information offered by others and also to come to you in prayer as we evaluate things. Remind us of your servant Solomon, who when he was to become king, prayed only for your wisdom. And because of his humility, you granted even more than wisdom. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, I invite you to pray for yourself. Tell God something that you're sorry for, or share with him something that is worrying you, or perhaps even something that you need help with. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your peace is our covenant in Christ Jesus. We will keep our mind fixed on you, Lord, and trust in you, and you will keep us in perfect peace. We will not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we will continue to make our wants known to you, Father. We will let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all of our concerns and anxieties on him, because we know that he cares for us. Amen. We turn now to the ministry of the songsters, in the hope that they've still got some voice left. And I'm sure they do. And we look forward to their ministry over us this morning. Very much. Thank you very much. And I could even see some in the congregation enthusiastically joining in when I say, what's stopping you? We're going to skip what's on the meeting plan for those who have seen it. I could have kept it a secret, but I won't. And we'll go straight to the ministry from the band, who have got another exciting and exhilarating arrangement for us this morning. Everybody praise his holy name. That was what that was. And it's had the effect on me of a third cup of tea that I needed this morning. So it certainly invigorates and vivifies. And we're all going to join together in some worship now, led by the worship band. Hosanna, praise is rising. Because it is Palm Sunday, isn't it? And we need to join in with the crowds of those acclaiming the triumphant entry, not of Ben, but of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Praise is rising. Luckily, you can play the piano being out of breath. Just about. We follow your lead, guys, and thank you very much. And we must stand up.
Hope is sound. we turn to you.
Come on, Glenys, you lead us. Yay! Lovely, please take your seats. Thank you very much, guys. I'm really looking forward to Saturday night. I think it's going to be a strong moment for us, you know, as we kind of rest between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I'm looking forward to it for one. And then perhaps if you're saying, "Oh, well, contemporary music isn't my thing, the modern songs aren't my thing," well, Wesley was new one day. Bach was new one day. And we don't even sing the songs that the first Christians sang in the early church days. So come join with us all on Saturday night. I'm expecting to see this congregation, I'm going to be honest. As we take that time out in this highlight of the Christian calendar, Easter weekend. Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Angela, it's over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke 23, verses 26 to 34. And I apologise for the croaky voice. And it's entitled, "The Crucifixion of Jesus." As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from that country, and put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women and the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For the people who do these things, when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" So two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. May God add his message.
Since Sunday, the 12th of February, we've been, and with a few interruptions, of course, for self-denial and Mothering Sunday and similar, we have been following the passion narrative, the Easter story, as it is told in Luke's Gospel. And because of that, in actual fact, we left Palm Sunday behind us quite a while ago. But because we're working towards Easter, we're going to skip the events of Palm Sunday for today. I'm not going to make any promises, but we will look at Palm Sunday next year. Is that all right? But we will skip it for this year. I'm tempted to apologise for that reason. I'm tempted to apologise for doing it, but I won't. because I am, and I hope that you are too, enjoying and benefiting from this deep dive into Luke's passion narrative. So as a reminder and for context, so far in the Easter story, according to Luke, Jesus' disciples have betrayed him, deserted him, denied him. The political leaders have laughed at him, have mocked him. And then though they know he is innocent, they have tortured him and signed his death warrant. The people have insisted that he be crucified, and the soldiers have taunted and beaten him, and now they are nailing him to a cross. How would you feel in Jesus' place? What would you have wanted God to do if you were in Jesus' place? What would you have wanted God to do to them? I don't think I would have been as acquiescent as Jesus is. And I reckon that I'd be thirsting for revenge, angered at the injustice of it all. The rage inside me might lead me to scream curses at those gathered to taunt me. And I'm ashamed to say it. I suspect I'd be looking forward to the day when God would judge them and wipe the smiles from their faces. Jesus, though, accepts what is happening to him out of love, and trusting that this is the Father's plan. But Jesus goes even further, though, than simply acquiescing. As even nailed on a cross, he forgives all those who have wronged him. And this, of course, is a demonstration of Jesus' love, and the Father's, of course, whose plan this is. But it also provides us with the power we need to forgive, just as our Lord has forgiven us. So we pick up Luke's Easter story at a point where a stranger, really, as far as we know, Simon of Cyrene, Simon from Cyrene, is seized and made to carry Jesus' cross. The text doesn't tell us why Simon was chosen. It could be that he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, or he may have somehow shown a degree of sympathy towards Jesus. We can't know for sure, but Mark's gospel identifies him as the father of Alexander and Rufus, which might lead us to believe that Simon, through his sons, was known in the church in Rome. In any case, Luke only tells us that Simon is made to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. This idea, of course, is an idea that Jesus had already used. Then he, Jesus, said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Words from Luke chapter 9. Every follower of Christ is called to carry a cross and follow Jesus, just as Simon unexpectedly did. The way of the cross, the pattern of Christian living, demands a radical death to oneself, a profound identification with Jesus' death and crucifixion. Following Jesus requires us to pick up our cross and to die to ourselves, renouncing our right to rule ourselves, to do what we like, to put ourselves first. In other words, to keep on sinning. And for this, and for us, and this is something that Jesus does note, picking up our cross and following him, making the choice to live this life of denial, is a daily decision. There's a deep irony, however, when Simon picks up the cross. Because Simon, if you think about it, isn't really carrying Jesus' cross. He is carrying his own. Simon is a sinner, just like you and me, a rebel against God. Jesus, on the other hand, shouldn't have a cross at all. Not only is he innocent before the Romans, he is innocent before God. Yet, Jesus will die on Simon's cross. This image, this idea that Jesus is actually bearing Simon's cross, that Jesus is actually bearing the punishment that you and I deserve, offers us an insight into our actual condition. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short, and we all deserve judgment. There is a spiritual crossbeam fixed to the shoulders of every human being on the planet. But Jesus took the cross from every Christian, and he makes this offer to everyone and dies in our place. So Simon is a picture of what a Christian is meant to be. Not just in that he carries a cross, but in that Jesus died on Simon's cross. Jesus died on my cross, and Jesus died on your cross. We learn two things from Simon of Cyrene. Firstly, that following Jesus involves picking up a cross and dying to the self. And secondly, it involves asking Jesus to die in our place, to take the judgment that we rightly deserve, and so to die on our cross. But I wonder if often we forget these two aspects of the Christian life. The evidence of this might, on one hand, it might be tempting to believe that Jesus died so that we can have an easy, comfortable life. But we know that's not true. But the evidence of this mindset, though, that this mindset is set in, is when we find ourselves unwilling to live sacrificially, or when we find ourselves doubting God's love when we go through tough times. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Following Jesus requires self-denial, and adversity will still come our way. On the other hand, it's also easy to begin to rely on our own self-righteousness. When we've been a Christian for a while and God has helped us to grow in holiness, it's possible to begin to imagine that we actually earned, or in some way are maintaining, God's love through our own cross carrying. So we become proud and judgmental towards others who aren't as good as we think we are. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, which follows Luke's gospel, says, "Salvation is found in no one else, in no one else but Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." No amount of cross carrying can save us. Only Jesus can. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33, the Son of God is nailed on a cross. Remarkably, even though he is surrounded by people who have betrayed, denied, deserted, taunted, plotted against, and tortured him, Jesus prays for their forgiveness. And that, for me at least, is a breathtaking thought. Jesus prays for the gift, for the forgiveness of those who have wronged him. But it's when looking at the cross that the wrong others have done to us is put into its correct perspective. Faced with the immensity of what Jesus has done for us, what others have done against us will seem like mere trifles. So we forgive too. Forgiveness, of course, doesn't come easily. But with the cross firmly in sight, it will come. As we look at the Son of God on the cross, thinking of his people and saying, Father, forgive. How can we possibly refuse to forgive? We're going to join together in a song now, a prayer of adoration. And we will start by singing, Thank you for saving me. What can I say? It's true, we find ourselves speechless, don't we, when we think of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But then later we will sing, Great is the Lord, for we know your truth has set us free. You've set your hope in me. Thank you for saving me. Mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Saviour of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry. I think today's message has been a difficult one. It's been a difficult one for me because it's a difficult topic, isn't it? But this morning, if you've got anything on your hearts in response to this, don't carry it. Don't carry it. Don't be weighed down by it. Don't carry that cross beam, because Jesus has carried it. Jesus has taken it away. Let's sing together. And it's striking me at the minute. It's striking me. We've just sung this. For we know your truth has set us free. And I'm just going to throw it here. But I want that to be your experience. An experience of freedom from guilt and from shame. So that we might know life and life to its fullness. As that Gospel of John says. Freedom, life. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? But who feels bogged down by resentment, by the wrong that others have done? Let's stand and let's sing that last chorus. Great is the Lord. Let's affirm this morning. Heavenly Father, we look upon your cross this morning and we think of the sacrifice Jesus Christ willingly made for us. He carried our cross. He bore the punishment that might have been ours because you are a God of justice. So, Lord, we thank you this morning that you're a God of new beginnings, a God of fresh starts. A God that offers us life and life in all its fullness. Lord, I pray that pride or self-righteousness would never pull us away from the cross. Jesus did for us what we can't do for ourselves. And we give you all the glory for that this morning. We make our prayer in and through his glorious name. Amen. It's going to be a long stand. I'm sorry. If you need to have a break, have a break. No, if you need to, sit down, sit down. But if you... Band, sit down. We close our worship this morning by proclaiming the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Thank you.
give my poorly throat a break and read together verse number 3, because I think it's particularly apposite and relevant this morning. Verse 3. Ye sinners lost of Adam's race, partakers of the fall, come and be saved by Jesus Christ and crown him Lord of all. Do you know what I learned this week? I think I kind of knew it before, but it was confirmed to me. You know that, and crown him, that bit. Apparently that's a Salvation Army innovation and distinctive. It's good, isn't it? It's good. So let's sing it out and sing it loud.
Crown him, ye martyrs of our God.
To the coming week, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you come to know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love for you really is. All glory to God, who is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or imagine. Go with God.